Good morning, Abundant Life Church. You are my favorite church, in case you didn't know that. I want to remind you, so good to be with you today and every Sunday. And today I have a word that is good for all of us, but perhaps would be more important even for your children and their children. And their children. On and on it goes. I want to speak about God's generational covenant. Now, if you're here and you don't have any children of your own, this is still a good word for you, because all of us had parents, and all of us, as we grow older, have increasing influence on younger people, the generation that comes after us. And I'm going to talk about the generational blessing that has been in your family and in mine, if we have faith working at all. And the song we sang earlier, for 1,000 generations. Imagine how long 1,000 generations are. Now, have you ever wondered why that after the Old Testament was finished and God was silent for 400 years, there was no word from God between Malachi, the end of the Old Testament, and the book of Matthew, the beginning of the New Testament? No prophetic word for 400 years. God was silent. And then when he spoke, the New Testament began. Have you ever wondered why the New Testament begins with such a lengthy, boring list of genealogies? I've been tripped up by that before. I remember one time as a younger boy, maybe in my early teens, I thought, I'm going to read the New Testament all the way through. And I began with Matthew chapter 1. And the beginning of the new covenant God has given us is all about lineage. Asa begat Jehoshaphat. Uzziah begat Jotham. I'm thinking, Lord, if somebody's a new believer and you give them the Word of God and they've never been into it before, and all of a sudden they have a passion to read the Scriptures, the inspired Word of God, we normally tell them, begin with the New Testament. We might need to tell them, start with Matthew 2, because, but it's sort of funny until you realize there is a purpose for that. God in Scripture is underscoring the importance of passing on to the next generation our faith that has been passed down to us from our forefathers. I want to tell you what will happen if one generation misses the covenant blessings of God. Just one generation. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, we read these words. It says, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. How sad. For there to be a righteous generation on the earth, and the time comes when it could be said that after that generation died, there grew up another generation that didn't know the Lord. It is our responsibility, those of us in today's generation, to be sure that doesn't happen to our posterity, to our children, and to our grandchildren. If one single generation forfeits the covenant blessings of God, then it could be lost forever. And after we read those words in Judges 2:10 about a generation growing up that doesn't know the Lord. In verse 12 of Judges 2, it says, they abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Underscore those words, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them, and they angered the Lord. We're talking about heavy stuff. So when the new covenant of God begins with so-and-so begat so-and-so who begat so-and-so, it's not just boring names we're not familiar with. It's establishing the principle that God blesses his people generationally. And it's up to each one of us in our generation to pass the faith along. Our covenant with God provides blessings that are generational, multi-generational. The Bible is filled with this. Sometimes when you hear the word house in Scripture, it's not referring to the brick and mortar and the wood that holds up the roof you live under. It's referring to your household. It's referring to your multi-generational family members. God has always had a heart for the generations, not just Carl, but now for my children and for my children's children and on and as far back as 1,000 generations. It began with Abraham because he's the father of our faith. Check it out, Matthew 1 later. Begins with Abraham who begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. There was just a lot of begatting going on before we arrived in our day. Listen to some of the scriptures that confirm that God is multi-generational in his covenant. The Old Testament prophet said, as for me and my house, not just me, we will serve the Lord. My whole household, multi-generation family members. Paul in the New Testament answered the jailkeeper who asked, how can I be born again? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your multi-generational family members, your household. Jesus even said, I have come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And every believer is a bridge between the preceding generation and the succeeding generation. It falls squarely on our shoulders to make sure that the faith of our fathers, the God of our ancestors, that was introduced to us, that we've trusted in all of our life, we clearly communicate to our children and allow them to realize their responsibility to pass the faith on to their children after them. Every believer is a bridge between the past and the future. And the traits, this is why it's so important, the traits of the parents become the tendencies of the children. Have you noticed that in your own family? Have you noticed it? And we even see it showing up in the natural, in secular ways, not just in spiritual faith. But sometimes there are many generations that great-granddaddy was a farmer and his son, granddaddy, was a farmer after him. And then daddy was a farmer. It also plays out in natural ways with different threads that run through family lineages, like even some that are not so good. Addictions, habits, different tendencies, and the traits of the parents become the tendencies of the next generation. So, oh, what a responsibility we have if we uphold and show respect and pass on God's generational covenant to our children and to their children. Now, this doesn't mean we must control our children. When they become of age, we need to let them know, just like our generation had to find our own path, our generation had to make our own choices, and we need to let our children know, you don't need to do it exactly the way we've done it. We're not expecting you to conform to us. All we're believing for is that your life be transformed as you work out your own salvation. And we need to pass the faith along down the line. We need to tell our children, your life will be what you and your partnership with God can make it be. How important is it for any one of us to live by faith when it concerns the effect it has on our family, generationally? In the early 1900s, a book was written. It was called Jukes Edwards, A Study in Education and Heredity. Now, this was written to answer the question I just asked. How does it affect our children and grandchildren, whether we live a life of faith in God or whether we're a blatant atheist? Does it really matter to the next generation and the one after that? This book was written to answer that question. The subjects of this one book were two different men. One was the great Jonathan Edwards, who was born in the early 1700s. Jonathan Edwards would go on to lead the great awakening, the great revival that hit the world as they knew it at that time. He was a godly man. The other man was an atheist, and his name was Max Jukes. He was blatant in his atheism, never wanted anything to do with God, never raised his children to be children of faith, never introduced his children to the God of their ancestors. So here you have two men, both born in the early 1700s, one a man of great faith in God, the other an atheist with no faith at all. And the object of the book was to see how their descendants compared. And here's, you can, by the way, that's on Amazon right there. I'm not trying to sell a book, but you can buy that book. The hardcover is $21. The softback is only $7. If you want to read that book, you can get it. It's still available, even though it's 120 years old almost. They still have them in print. And it will tell you this. Mr. Max Jukes, the atheist that was studied in this book, after almost 200 years of studying the descendants of this atheist, 310 of the atheist's descendants died as paupers. 150 were convicted criminals. 7 were murderers. Over 100 drunkards. It was written in the early 1900s. And listen to this. 190 female prostitutes. Now that's the way they talked, I guess, when you wrote books in the early 1900s. But one man, an atheist with no faith to pass on to his children and his children's children. And this is what the generations looked like that followed that man. By contrast, Jonathan Edwards, the great revivalist and believer, the great man of faith that he was, this same author studied his descendants for 200 years. And among his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so on, there was one Vice President of the United States, 3 U.S. Senators, 3 governors, 3 mayors, 30 judges appointed to the bench, 13 college presidents, 56 college professors, over 100 lawyers, 60 physicians, 75 military officers, 100 missionaries in his family, 60 prominent authors, and 80 other publicly elected officials. The faith we live by is not just for us, and it doesn't stop with us. It didn't begin with us, and it won't stop with us. We all inherited such a legacy, such a great heritage, and it's up to us in every generation to communicate clearly with those who come after us God's generational covenant. The Bible says, after David, the psalmist, served his generation well in the will of God, he died and was buried with his ancestors. That's all any of us can do, is serve our generation. Just serve our generation, and part of that is passing the mantle. It's like a relay race. Oh, my forefathers passed the baton to me, and I will run with it. Hopefully, I will run well with it. Hopefully, I will serve my generation well in the will of God, knowing that at the end of my race, the race is not over. I just pass it on to my children, and they run their generation and pass it on after that. I think I mentioned this to you a few weeks ago, but about 3 months ago, my daddy called, and we'll call him Harry. He's not here today. He's all right, though, just not here. Most Sundays, daddy's here. He's 86, drives himself, comes in with a mask, finds a seat. He's faithful. But since he's not here today, we'll talk about Harry for a minute. So Harry called me about 3 months ago. Carl, I want to have a family meeting. I want to talk to you and Deborah and Mike, and I want to do it all at the same time. I don't want to talk 3 different times. I want to talk to all of you at the same time. So all of us, Deborah and Mike and myself, we were thinking, oh, I wonder what's up with Harry. He don't do this. Harry ain't like that. Calling a family meeting, wanting to meet with all of us at the same time. So we set a night the next week, and we all went over and spent 2.5-3 hours with Daddy and heard him. And I won't tell you all that he said, but he went over what he wanted his funeral to look like. But the main thing he said is, look, the Lord woke me up about 2 o'clock the other morning and talked to me. He reminded me that when your mama was deathly ill for 2 years and in the hospital intensive care unit for 300 days in a row, he said, I had to quit my job. Life had to stop. I had to stay with her around the clock. And we remember those days and weeks and months. And he said, the Lord told me back then, I'm going to meet every need you have. And Daddy said, and he did. That was 35 years ago. Daddy said, he did. He said, but the Lord told me this time, the other night he woke me up, said, I'm still going to meet every need you have. And it's not just for you, it's for your children too. And it's for your grandchildren too. So let them know that God said, I'm going to meet every need you have. And it was a generational blessing. That night will forever be remembered by Deborah and Mike and me as the time Harry conferred a father's blessing on us. We'll cherish that night and that memory. Generational blessings must be intentionally conferred. Nothing accidental about it. Nothing coincidental or even random about it. A father and a mother must intentionally bless their children. The word bless means to affirm God's gifts and potential in another. Let me tell you, I'd rather bless my children and my grandchildren than anybody else in the world, and you should feel that way too. I want to affirm God's gifts and potential in my children and in their children. That's part of the faith I will pass on to them. As we get older, we see things a little more importantly than we did in previous years. I noticed online in the local news a couple of days ago, you may have seen it too, it was a picture, or it was a news article, and the caption was, after 70 years, South Carolina's biggest record collector is ready to sell. And I thought, well, that's a cute little story. I read it. His name is Bill Norman, and he lives here in Florence. And he has the largest record collection in the state. He's been collecting records since he was 15 years old, and he's 85 years old now. Bill Norman. His record collection is valued at several hundred thousand dollars. And this 85-year-old man that lives here in Florence published his phone number, told the journalist who was doing the art, put my phone number down in the paper. Now, when you put this in the paper, put my phone number in there and tell them I said I'm ready to sell, because the cemetery told me I cannot bury those records with me at the grave. And he said the most amazing thing. He said, publish my phone number and tell the people I said I will give somebody a big discount in exchange for a visit to my home and a chance to swap a few stories. An 85-year-old man who's lived his life and knows it for the most part, but there's something stirring in him that he realizes, I've got something left to say that's going to be important for those that come after me. I'll give you a great discount on all this if you'll just come in and let me talk with you and share a story or two with you. And he put his number. I started to call it, but I don't have a record player that works too much, and but that's how there's something in each of us as we age. We see generationally in a better perspective, and especially when it comes to our children, those following us. Now, while we were focused on living life in our generation, God is at work prophetically and strategically on future generations. David, the great king of Israel, he wanted to build the temple. He knew God needed a temple. He wanted to build it. He lived his life with that dream and that vision. I want to build the temple in Jerusalem, God's house. And even though that was in his heart, God was looking down the lineage. God was saying, I know you want to do this for me, David, and I understand that, but I'm looking past your generation already. Solomon's going to be the one to do that. Your son after you. Have you ever had a dream that just you could not give birth to in your lifetime? It may be because God's looking generationally. It may be he's got that on reserve for your children or your grandchildren, because he looks at his people generationally. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, listen to these words. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, God says, that I have set before you life and death. There's a choice, life or death. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that, and here's why, both you and your descendants may live. The promises of God are not just for me or you. The promises of God are for both me and my descendants. There it is right there in the scripture. Our faith can be traced back to Abraham. And Abraham taught us that not only must we have faith, but we must live by faith. And faith must be tested before it can be proven. And that works for every generation. Abraham's test of faith came famously on the mountaintop when God tested him to see if he was willing to obey him, even if it cost his own son Isaac's life. It was Abraham's test of faith, laying Isaac on the altar. But Abraham obeyed God. Do you know how it can affect your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and on down the line? Just one single act of obedience in your lifetime? Just one? Now, it could work, by contrast, horribly if you choose wrongly. But for Abraham to face a test of his faith and to pass the test, to obey God, how that has affected not only Abraham, but his son Isaac, and Isaac's son Jacob, and Jacob's son Judah, and right on down the line until Carl and you. After Abraham passed the test of his faith, Genesis 22 verse 15 says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, God, imagine God saying this to you. God saying, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and you have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you. And oh, catch this one. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants. God blesses Carl in my lifetime, but his plan for my children and their children after them is not just a blessing, but multiplication. God said to Abraham, blessing, I will bless you. But when it comes to your descendants, I'm going to multiply them. As the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants, talking about your children now, shall possess the gate of their enemies. And that word gate, most of the time in Scripture, is a word of authority. Your descendants shall possess authority over their enemies. And in your seed, that's your children and your grandchildren and their children, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Why? Because you obeyed my voice and obeyed my challenge by not withholding Isaac from me when I asked. One act of obedience. caused Abraham to be blessed. Now, Abraham was blessed. Abraham was blessed, and we think, well, Abraham's the king daddy of our faith. Nobody ever more blessed than Abraham. But yeah, he was. Isaac was more blessed. His son was more blessed. I'll get to that in just a minute. You see, the reason we have the blessing multiplied in our generation from Abraham's day is because of what Jesus did for us. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. One act of obedience. Abraham committed one act of obedience. And we still to this day are benefiting from it. Now, and then the time come when Abraham was on his deathbed. Genesis 25 verse 5 tells us what happened when Abraham was dying. The Bible says, and Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. Now, that's not just houses and property and livestock and gold and silver. When I'm on my deathbed, when you're on your deathbed, there's going to be something in here stirring. We're not going to care about, oh, the house, we're leaving them. A few dollars, we're leaving them. There's going to be something greater in here, our bigger concern, even on our deathbed, is let's give them what we really have that's valuable. Let's make sure they get in on this generational covenant that's been a blessing to all of our life, and it will be for them and their children as well. Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. It was a blessing. In verse 11, Genesis 25:11, it says, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. But now, wait a minute. Abraham was just blessed. Verse 13, speaking about Isaac, said, the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very, what's that word? Three times in one verse. We're not talking about Abraham now. Abraham was just blessed. Abraham was just blessed, but Isaac was very blessed. Multiple generations of blessing from God's covenant. How about that? Then God appeared to Isaac in Genesis 26, verse 24. The Lord appeared to him the same night and said to Isaac, I am the God of your father, Abraham. The God of your father. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. You know, I'm walking in blessings today. I believe it with all my heart. That have been passed down to me and to our generation from our forefathers. Parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grand, right on back to read Matthew 1, right on back to Abraham, there it was. The faith being passed from one generation to another. I'm the God of your father. I'm the God of your father. Hey, fathers, do our children know our God? And I'm going to, oh, I blessed your daddy. There it is right there. I blessed Abraham. But I'm going to bless you and multiply. Not just a blessing, but a multiplication on our posterity. Our children and grandchildren and then their children. God blesses us in our generation, but he multiplies our children in their generations. And then there came the time after Abraham died and he gave all he had to Isaac. And Isaac was even more blessed than his daddy because of this principle. Came time for Isaac to die. What happened then? Isaac was on his deathbed and blessed his son Jacob. Now, even though there was deception and there was manipulation, you can read all about it in Exodus chapter 27 later. I wouldn't be surprised if Netflix don't do a movie on that one day. Actually, Jacob's brother Esau was first in line for the father's blessing and missed out. And it wasn't right. But what we do see in this story is the power of generational covenant blessings. If Abraham says, Isaac, I'm blessing you, and your seed's going to be multiplied after you, then the same thing happens in each generation if we do our part, the power of generational blessing. Now, did you notice that God changed his name a little for every generation? There was a time in Abraham's day, I am the God of Abraham, he said. And then the next generation, when it was Isaac's day, God changed his name a little and said, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, right where you are. And then after that generation, for the next generation, God changed his name again and said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. There it is. I believe God adjusts his name just a little bit. Not that I'm trying to be doctrinal about it, but we see the pattern as far back as Abraham and then the lineage in Matthew 1, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Judah and right on to Asa and Jehoshaphat and Asa. And I don't know these people. Well, they're important because they passed the generational covenant down to the one that followed them. I believe today God's name includes, you know, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Judah, all of Matthew 1 and everybody, and the God of Job. He's personal that way. And he introduces himself to every generation. Now, when God introduced himself to Moses, here's what it said. In Exodus 3:6, moreover, God said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And I think he probably went right on down the line. Exodus 3:15, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Now, I only remember one of my great grandparents. Barely I remember. We called her Granny. She died when I was 11 years old. Both of my great-grandfathers and my other great-grandmother died before I could remember. Deborah remembers Granny. And I've often wondered, what were my forefathers like when it comes to the faith? Wonder what they did for a living. Wonder what my great-great-great-great-grandparents did. Where did they live? What did their house or dwelling look like? How did they make a living? How many children did they have? What was their education like? What was their church life like? Where were they born? Where are they buried? We're talking about God's generational covenant. And as far back as we can remember and trace, there have always been men and women of Christian faith in our family. Always. Even those who had gone on before we were born. we have evidence that they were men and women who received the covenant from their forefathers and served their generation well in the will of God and then passed it down to their children, and on it goes. And one of my great, great grandfathers is a man named Gilliard Williams. He and his wife, Maddie Williams. There's a picture of them. That picture is well over a century old. This man, my great, great grandfather, died 50 years before I was born. In fact, we have a picture of his tombstone. I visited his grave recently. Gilliard Williams, born in 1864, and he died in 1919. This man, my great-great-grandfather, has been buried in his grave for 102 years. But this man was a godly man. He started a church out in the country about an hour from here, and that church is still a great church for that community today. And we know that this man had a lot of children. Gilliard and Maddie begat Neil. And Neil begat Annie. And Annie begat Margaret. And Margaret begat me and Deborah and Mike. Our great, great grandparents, godly people. The fruit of their life still lives to this day. And I'm wondering during his, he'd been dead 102 years, but still the life he lived has carryover and influence right on down. I wonder, when he was walking those dirt roads in his lifetime, did he ever pray for his children and his grandchildren? Because I believe I'm walking in some blessing that he probably paid for in prayer. I believe in that. Now, if you don't have a godly heritage, and I understand, many today were never raised by a Christian mother or a Christian father, never had the influence of Christian grandparents growing up. And if you don't have a godly heritage like some others might have, you can be the first in your family, the first generation. And just like it only takes one generation forfeiting the covenant, and it could be gone forever, it only takes one generation to establish the covenant. You can reverse the curse that's been on your family. You can begin right now believing God and taking His generational covenant seriously and pass it on down to your children and grandchildren, or if you have no children, nieces and nephews, anybody of a younger generation that is succeeding your generation. Passing the faith along to those who come after us. And Hebrews chapter 11 says that Joseph, when he was dying, called his family together and told them the story again of how God had delivered Israel. Imagine Joseph on his deathbed. Call family. I want to remind you again what God did for us, how He delivered our forefathers out of bondage, how God has come through for us as a people. On his deathbed, that was important. That 85-year-old man, he wanted to do more than clean up that house and get rid of them records. He's got a story he's wanting to, I'll give you these records if you just come in and let me give what I got to you, really. The generations coming after us need to know we didn't just have faith, we lived by faith. our children and our children's children, they need to know in our lifetime that we really do believe all things are possible. They need to know what we know. Everything we've been through and how God's come through for us. How that He's brought us through everything we've ever been through, right on up to this very present moment. And they need to know what we know, that all things work together for good. Not everything's good. I've been through some stuff that wasn't good, but give God time and work with Him. He'll get so involved in something bad that before it's over, you'll call it good. Our children need to know. We need to tell our children that God can do a lot with just a little. Our children need to know that. We need to tell our children, when you're going through a storm, don't give up, because every storm runs out of rain. Our children need to know it. We need to tell our children what God's done in our life. Like when I was 12, almost drowned, and God spared my life, brought me back to life when I was unconscious and as good as dead. And my children need to know, Daddy could have died at 12, but God. What did Daddy do about that? Daddy woke up, came back to life, 12 years old. First thing Daddy did was say, God, thank you for saving my life. What's Daddy still doing? God is still thanking. Daddy's still thanking God for sparing my life. My children, my grandchildren need to know it. Your children, your grandchildren need to know how God has shown up in your life and kept His word, that the trouble you were in at the moment didn't come to stay, but God was right when He said it came to pass. It's a former thing now. Our faith has given us all the strength we need to walk away from a comfortable life with nothing but a promise from God. Our children need to know we have lived our life by faith and we've been blessed. It's been the most exciting and the most rewarding life, a life lived by faith. And for them, oh, we were just blessed, but God's going to multiply the blessing in their lifetime. Our children need to know about God's generational covenant. Would you stand with me, please? Everyone stand and bow your heads, please. Father, thank you for the word of the Lord. There's an open heaven above our church family these days. You are withholding nothing good from us. Lord, we just ask you to minister the blessings you have for our generation, on down to our children and their children. We take this responsibility seriously, and we pass our faith along. I pray for those who are here, those who may be watching, who have no godly heritage. I pray that this will especially quicken their spirit, make them aware that it can begin with them. The curse on their family can be reversed, and they can be the first generation to pass the covenant blessings of God down to those who will follow them. Lord, I speak a blessing over this great church family, all of us stretched to some degree, and many of us stretched to the breaking point, if possible, but you said that's not the case, that you always provide a way for us to escape every test and temptation. So I pray for this to be a blessed week for our church family, for every man and woman, every young person connected to Abundant Life Church. I speak blessing and multiplication over their lives for a wonderful week in the faith. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. Thank you for worshiping here today. Good to see all of you here and everybody there. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.